Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes. We welcome you to the show. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. We're on day 4 of our 9-day Why Intensive. It's flying by. And so Michael will probably give a little more information on that here in just a moment. So welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. It is another awesomely beautiful day here in the Ozarks. We got a few clouds and sunshine and a pleasant temperature. So things are just rolling along, lots of energy moving in the intensive and just heading in the direction of all kinds of process and all kinds of healing happening, which is exactly what our intention is, what our goal is to create. So we're moving forward, moving along, and we appreciate each and every one of you that chooses to share this space with us every day. And one of the things we haven't mentioned in a little while is that we 5 minutes before the show, there are a number of people who are setting their clocks to for their alarms to go off 5 minutes before the show, and then connecting in a space of love for that 5 minutes. And we invite you to consider doing that, to join us each day and take an extra 5 minutes to just get quiet. It might be your reminder for just a little bit of meditation and quiet time. And hold the space. You know, one of the things the physicists tell us is that every molecule in the universe is in continuous communication with every other molecule. And if we choose through our molecular structure to embed, embody, and express our human lives, the active presence of love, then we become contributors to that energy, becoming strong enough in the world for us to shift the insanity that has taken over the planet. It's like, you know, of all the planets in the galaxies, who knows, but this one is definitely, so far, so bereft of human life and so permeated by the insanity of greed and fear and war, hatred, vengeance, separation, even trauma. And what we're looking to do is to create support for a new dynamic. And that new dynamic is one where we as human beings join and choose to live as human beings. And our definition of a human is a very simple one. Hold a newborn child, you know exactly what a human life is. And experience and express our lives through that true state of humanity is what this work is about. And if there's something that's less than human life going on inside of you, then our invitation is for you to recognize that what is going on inside of you is going on inside of you, and that you have power over that, and you, if you choose to, acquire the tools, can change those dynamics. You know, most people, one of the things we did in our last intensive was a communication practicum, and most people think when they're talking, they have a, a picture, something happened in their heads between their ears, and they think that they're actually talking about what happened out there in the world. When the truth is, never, never are you talking about what happened out there in the world. What you're really describing, and this is the whole thrust of one of the tools we teach called responsibility communication, is that if I speak from a space of knowing that what I'm describing is the output of my own mind, instead of what I'm describing is what you did, then I have an opportunity to begin to experience the ability to change what's happening in my mind. If I think that what I'm describing is actually what took place out there, then there, obviously, I can't change it. Once I start to climb down into the space inside of me, take responsibility for my hostilities, my fears, my griefs, my rages, my pain, my drama, and my trauma, I can begin to apply the tool of forgiveness. And forgiveness, well, once you recognize that you're describing the output of your mind and what's happening inside of you, and that's your inner reflection of what's happening in the outer world, that's the dynamic that your mind serves up to you, but it's an inside job. When you start to climb down inside that space, and responsibility communication is one of the most powerful ways to do that, then you realize that the patterned ways of seeing and thinking and holding the world are patterned that way because that's what you have within you. And the opportunity to change that content within is called forgiveness. The Greeks externalized our internal pictures. The Greeks and the whole Greek philosophy has permeated, especially the Western world, and we believe when I look, I'm actually looking outside of me through my eyes. Most people believe that's true. And yet, you are never looking outside of you when you look through your eyes. All that goes into your eye is a frequency of light. A frequency of light can't tell you what's happening out there. It can give you information about it. But then there's this little piece of the puzzle that's so key. The information about what's happening out there then resonates or stimulates content within you, stimulates or resonates genetics. And when those things become, they seamlessly become part of our perceptual process, and we think we're actually looking outside of us. When you realize it's all an inside job, or, you know, Jim Farmer's here with us this year again, and the way he likes to say it is it's a home game. When you realize that it's all a home game, then you realize that what's happening inside of you, if you begin to communicate in a way that you own what's happening inside of you, you have the ability to actually take it in hand, and if you choose to, throw it away. And this just nullifies the whole game of what the world teaches as forgiveness. You did something terrible that caused all this pain inside of me, but it's okay. I'll forgive you. I'll let you off the hook. Has nothing whatsoever to do with the forgiveness process. That's a Greek act of pardoning. Nice thing to do, to pardon someone. You know, if somebody does something, people do some pretty crazy things. Somebody does something crazy, it's nice to say, okay, I pardon you. I let you off the hook for that. And by the way, when you did that behavior, whatever it was, I'm not 100% sure because I can only see my mind's interpretation of it. But when that happened, it brought up all kinds of pain and turmoil. Recognizing that in order for me to feel pain and turmoil, I must have pain and turmoil inside of me. Ah, maybe forgiveness means the way I go inside myself and remove the root of my pain and turmoil. Now you've got the key understanding to changing the contents of your mind. Otherwise, if you never do that, you will find person after person after person after person after person to blame for the contents of your mind, because what will happen is people will show up. And, you know, if you put two people in a room together long enough, sooner or later, they're going to step on each other's realities. And so if I step on your reality, you will take your content, and out of your content, you'll make a picture of. Your mind will actually see a picture of what you may think is me. but it's based on your content. When I recognize that if I look at you and I'm in pain or turmoil, I'm looking at the content of my own mind projected into my brain's image of you, when I know how to collapse that image and stop the blame game, I can access the part of me that holds the pain and turmoil. And when I forgive that pain, I apply forgiveness to remove my pain, then because you did a particular behavior and your behavior resonated my pain, I get to heal my pain. It's an absolutely awesome setup. Whoever set the whole game up, it's just amazing what they've given us. And that is every opportunity we need to remove every disease, to remove all suffering and pain. And life will always respond to bring to you that which will reflect to you what is most important for you to heal today. It will show you the parts of your mind in need of review and in need of removal. So when you think forgiveness, think removal. So I can't remove somebody else. That's called murder. I'm not going to remove myself. That's called suicide. But if I'm in pain and I know how to forgive, I can go inside myself and literally remove, delete my pain. And if you are not familiar with the technology of how to do that, and it's based on first century Aramaic forgiveness and the understanding of how the mind works, which there is nothing on the planet to me today that even compares with the understanding they had 2,000 years ago of how the device works. And of course, if you've got a device and you don't know how it works and it's broken, it's not working properly, it's going to be really tough to fix it if you have no clue how it works. In the first century Aramaic language and culture, they understood exactly how the mind worked, and they had tools for removal of the generational pain, fear, anger, sadness, grief, rage, etc. So you can go to our website. It's all there free. You can go to www.whyagain.org. And in the center, you'll see a bullseye. If you click on that bullseye will open a whole series of links. And the first one will start you off with Chapter 24 of my book, free download. Second one is the worksheet process. And then there are about 10 or 12 links that are radio shows. They're free downloads. You can just download them and listen to them, or you can click and listen to them live on the computer. And they will walk you through the whole forgiveness process. And so we invite you to take advantage of that material. Put it to work in your life and watch the absolutely amazing things that happen. And the reason for our radio show is because when you stop believing the lie that looking at a picture in your brain is just looking at something outside of you, like your eyes are a window that you just look through, perception is a very active process. And again, we seamlessly inject all kinds of things into that process. One of the things that will tell you that what you're injecting is yours is you'll be feeling it. So if you're feeling something that holds pain or turmoil, begin the forgiveness process and watch how it starts to disappear. It's an absolutely phenomenal and amazing process. And we're delighted that we've got this radio show to create support for everybody who's interested in participating in the process. And so we're delighted that you're here to join us. And Jeannie, let's say hello to Dr. Tim. How do you be, good sir?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. I have gratitude resonated in me each day for the use of these tools. And I was thinking about, as you were talking, trying to put myself in the mindset of somebody who's never heard this before, and how deep and strange some of these concepts are compared to what I understood about them the first time I heard them. And it's so important for my mind to keep coming at the material. And somebody sent me an email today that had several different pieces from Krishnamurti, from Rumi, from the Tao Te Ching, all trying to reference the same concept. And it just stimulated in me the idea that when I first heard some of the written word that Krishnamurti put together, it sounded like gibberish. And a few years later, when somebody recommended a different Krishnamurti book to me, it just felt like coming home. It just felt so right. And I sat there reading this book thinking, how come I didn't understand this 2 or 3 years ago when a friend of mine said, you should really read Krishnamurti? But I didn't have the capacity at that time. And the same thing happens. I was struck by that today listening to you talk, that it's my level of understanding of this material is so different today than it was the first time I got exposed to your four-hour audio set about why is this happening to me again, that it resonates delight and joy in me that I've been exposed to this work and that I've taken advantage of it by continually digging deeper and listening to the same lectures over and over and over again and watching how my brain shows me different things each time. So that's my offering for today. I mean, I have, on a regular basis, people ask me, why are we going to watch this video again? Why are we reading the same book again? Why are you saying the same thing but slightly differently? And my answer is because I understand it at deeper and deeper levels, and sometimes from a completely different perspective. And I never know when another level of breakthrough is going to happen. But I want to be in the flow. I want to keep myself in the river, ready for that next breakthrough.
Yes, for sure. And the quotes that you're sharing that resonate for you from those different sources, perhaps you forward me a copy. I love to watch how other people have put it together, and I always learn another new piece of the puzzle. I love the quote that says that the mind is like a parachute. It only works when it's open. And once somebody says to themselves, oh, I've had that course, and they've had the course. If the mind isn't available for building new brain cells and understanding on new levels, it's just it's such a loss for people. And
you just resonated another thought for me. Guy Finley has one of his sayings is, we all have wings that only open in midair.
Yeah.
You got to be in the process.
Yeah, and then that's just, I want to, and watch what unfolds. I'm going to stay active. I'm going to keep exposing myself to things even though it seems too familiar or too different for me to comprehend it. And part of the quote that was forwarded today had to do with stillness and being able to watch the flurry of thoughts in my mind without feeling a need to act on them. And so I will definitely forward that to you.
Cool. Thank you. And I think it is really an important skill to develop, to become the thinker apart from our own thoughts, the feeler apart from our own feelings, the actor apart from our own actions. And as we do that, we realize that we are not the mind. We are not the body that we have been taught that we are, that we're something far, far beyond that. And the awakening of that something else is monumental. It is just, it's beyond comprehension as to what the human world thinks of. And what happens, you know, every once in a while, one comes along that expresses that level of awareness and understanding. And what happens is everybody who looks at that one has to dumb them down to their level, has to bring them down to their level. And sadly, many of the masters that brought us such awesome, powerful insight and tools were brought down to the level of the common observer. And because the common observer had no brain cells for what was being said, the teaching that's been totally lost. So many times the teaching that you listen to yesterday says, I come to bring you life and bring it more abundantly. That's the goal of what he's doing. And he speaks of love as the key. And yet we see so many people who the majority of their words around his teaching and his life are about suffering and pain and turmoil and trauma, as though that was the pathway to love. When, yes, he went through those things, but I think if we look carefully, we'll see that he went through them to demonstrate to us, watch, because I live the way I have taught you to live, I will walk out of the most terribly disastrous experience you can think of, and I'll be unscathed. Watch me walk through and out. And most people are still watching the suffering and the pain, as though that was where the lesson was, and that was where the gift was. And that is not where the lesson, and that is not where the gift is. The gift is in, I walked out the other side of what you think would destroy you, and notice I am fully intact. That's what I came to teach you. Why and how am I able to do that? Let me tell you, I function as love. I have a relationship with a different source, love, than the relationships that you have with your hostility and fear-based mind and your generational patterns. And so I'm in this world with you. I'm here to play the game, but nothing in this world sources for me what I offer to you. And that's been just so missed. And people dumb the teaching down, and so it becomes about, because we have people who observe who are in suffering and lack and pain, it becomes about suffering and lack and pain, rather than about how to really truly incarnate and embody the active presence of love, which is what the teaching was designed to do. And, of course, what we're here to support.
Yeah, I like the idea that there are so many different meanings to these words. Dale will talk probably tomorrow again about it if we ask him, but when you say the phrase, I come to bring you life and bring it more abundantly, Dale says that the word he was using there is height. And if you're sitting in the front row when Dale says it with the true accent, you'll get all wet because he's like, and the word means a lot of different things, but most accurately for the translations Dale likes, it means energy in a lot of different forms. And so instead of thinking that he came to help us learn to live to be 1,000 years old, he really, another way to look at that teaching is he came to help us to live fully in each moment with more energy and vitality than we can experience if we're rejecting or pushing things away. And then the other thought is the word suffer, a lot of people use that as a synonym for pain, suffering and pain and anguish. But there's another use for the word, and another use for the word is to accept or tolerate something. And if I learn to accept or tolerate those things that when they come along, I have an immediate resistance for them, if I learn to breathe into and look for a revelation in the moment rather than resist the moment, I get all kinds of lessons that I can't get any other way, lessons about what's gotten stirred up in me. And Guy Finley likes to say resistance is the lesson stealer. Every time I resist something, I make it impossible for myself to learn from that thing or that person or that interaction. And my whole purpose for being here, I believe, is to learn more about myself, to learn more about my true nature and the nature of life.
Well, and that brings up the topic of, you know, one of the workshops that we do is entitled Purpose, Personal Power, and Commitment. And, you know, the world basically teaches us that, well, you know, you're just an accidental lump of protoplasm. Higher purpose, don't talk about that silly stuff. And then find out what skills you've got that will be good in our commercial system so that you will be a good commercial servant and make money. To heck with that purpose stuff. That's silly. And we actually have, that's the workshop that we're going to do today in our intensive, we actually have a worksheet for bypassing the brainwash of the culture that delivers that message to us and tapping people into their real purpose, what they're really here for. And when you look at everything in the whole creation, everything has a place and a purpose and a function. There's nothing that falls out of harmony with it. The one piece that comes to me when I think about this, and an example I use in that workshop is that there was a gentleman who was into sounds, and he was experimenting with different sounds that would help his vegetables and his flowers to grow. And he discovered certain sounds would make certain plants grow. And he had a visitor who was into ornithology, into birds. And when he introduced him to the sounds that would make this plant or that plant or that plant grow, this gentleman would identify the different songbird songs. So that's the robin song. That's the bluebird. That's this, this, this. And, you know, when you recognize that in the creation, the song of the bird has a place in supporting plant growth, there's nothing that's purposeless in this whole game. And so really tapping into one's own purpose is really a powerful thing to do. And it's a new idea to you folks. You can access the Purpose, Personal Power, and Commitment worksheet on the website. Again, go to the same place, whyagain.org, and click the bullseye and just look down the list for the purpose worksheet. It's pretty self-explanatory, and or, of course, if there's something about it you don't understand or you need some support with, you're welcome to call into the show and ask questions about it. We'd be delighted to share that with you. But when people start to invest their life energy and resources into what their purpose is, life just becomes a whole different game. You know, when I was brought up, I was brainwashed into believing that we were here to make money, that that was the game. And so time, intelligence, energy, and money goes toward what? Making money. And when I started to do this work and touched into, oh, there's a different reason. I actually had a session where I was doing some still point breathing and touched into being a very early stage newborn. And being in that state, remembering exactly why I was here, remembering exactly what I came to do, teach this work. And I had bought into the brainwash of my family system and my upbringing and went out and worked to make money. When I first started doing this work, I had three businesses. I had about 60 employees. I had a penthouse apartment in one city. I had an Eldorado one side of my driveway, a Mark III on the other. I thought that's what the game was about. Well, there came a point where I dropped all of that like a hot potato and went back to studying and teaching this work full time, realizing that I had come to do exactly that. And so, you know, once you start to tap into what your real purpose is, some of the things the world has brainwashed you for become absolutely meaningless. One of the challenges, I think, that, you know, what is often called the midlife crisis is the point where somebody is so invested and they're so deeply in debt, they have to keep doing that meaningless task that makes them money in order to pay their debts, when in fact they wake up to, oh my God, I'm not here to do this. I've got a purpose here, and it's not to make money. And that creates quite a dilemma and quite a challenge. I think a lot of people, that's a point where they get lost and dive into addictive substances, drugs, alcohol, and such, because they realize that they've wasted so much of their life energy on something that's meaningless. And to bring themselves back to what their real purpose is and to function out of that purpose is a monumental gift to give yourself. So anyway, if you want to, you can tap into that purpose worksheet. And if you have questions about it, we'd be delighted to answer your questions and see if we can support you in getting clear on what your purpose is. One of the things I found when I started to really function out of my purpose is there would be certain things that I liked or enjoyed or wanted to do that because they weren't part of and didn't support my purpose, I stopped doing them. And then other things that, you know, I don't particularly want to do this, I don't particularly like doing this, but because it supported my purpose, I would do it. And what happens is this becomes the key, the next step in that workshop, we go from purpose to personal power, is by aligning energy systems don't bring through more energy by efforting, they bring through more energy by aligning. And so once one starts to align with their purpose and understands all of the things that need to come into alignment, then personal power starts to show up. And when we're committed to following through with that, the whole game just becomes so different than what it used to be. So different than rote, making money so I can pay bills, you know, going to slog on a job that I hate or, you know, that I don't particularly like or that doesn't serve my aliveness, but, you know, it's how I pay my bills. So many people live in that world, and so many people, I think, drink themselves to death because they can't handle that and they can't see a way out of that. They've gone so far into it, you know, their kids, there's a mortgage, there's a car payment, there's, you know, all the expenses that go along with it, and then there's the seniority and there's the promise of this carrot, when I retire, I'll have this big pile of money to go play with, so I'll just put my life on hold, and I think so many people just drink themselves into a stupor over the pain of that. I think that's one of the major causes of alcoholism and drug abuse in our culture, and whether the drug abuse is legal or illegal, people seek out anesthetics in order not to feel the pain of what they've done to themselves in that case. Does that fit in your experience, Dr. Kim?
Yes, very much so, and I think that one of the great benefits I see of teachers like Guy Finley and Michael Rice and these tools is that if people are exposed to the tools and systems of thought, when they have that awakening and they realize, oh my gosh, I'm not living into my purpose, they can change it. They don't have to panic and they don't have to worry about there's not going to be enough time, because when they've tapped into the tools and they've focused their power, they can get more done than they ever imagined in a fraction of the time that they used to have spend straining and fighting the flow.
So you bring up a quote that I love to offer from Yeshua, and when people start to see what he was really talking about, it just is so simple and so straightforward. But you hear him saying through the Greek translations, and the translations we see that are based on the Greek, and you hear him saying, sufficient for the day are the evils thereof. And you go, well, what the heck does that mean? And that word evil is properly translated as unripened or incomplete. And what he's saying is that you don't want to load your mind up with more goals than what you will achieve today, or you will overwhelm yourself. And when you start to bring your goals into alignment with your purpose, then every bit of energy that you put out solidifies your personal power, and it brings you into that alignment that every time, you know, to me, every time one more little shift or one more big shift occurs into that alignment, that's what brings the delight and the joy that I heard you talking about when we first started the show. To me, that's what just opens that excitement and enthusiasm and delight, and it's just so many people say things like, oh, wow, yeah, but if I lived this love all the time, life would be so boring. It's like, no way. I mean, talk about 1,000 times more interesting and exciting than the drum and trauma game that so many people are playing. It's like, oh, my God, wake up, folks. Anyway, it's certainly a delight, and we're honored for everybody that chooses to join us. Let's check with Jeannie and see if there's anything happening in the chat room to be aware of, or anybody in the phone queue with a hand up, sweetie.
Okay, actually, there are no hands up, and Michelle's in the chat room, and she said that yesterday's show was quiet. I thanked her for filling in for me while I was doing kitchen duty, And she said that because there were no hands up, that you all had invited her in, and she was like, again? So anyway, she said your all's conversation was about Friday, and you didn't finish before time ran out, so perhaps you would like to continue that conversation and that it's related to canceling the goals.
Sure. That would be cool. So is Michelle on the phone? Is there a specific question, Michelle?
She's not on the phone queue. She's in the chat room, but she said you all were just, you and Tim were discussing it and didn't get finished with the conversation before time ran out, so maybe you all pick back up on it if you didn't have something else to talk about. She says she can come in, but you know the topic, and she just laughed.
Cool. Well, maybe there's a specific direction that she wants to see the conversation go for clarity's sake. So I think it would be cool if you just popped in, Michelle, and just reformed your question so that we can pick up on where your mind is thinking of going with it. The canceling of the goal being the core of the forgiveness process, which seems to most people to be something that's totally and completely backward. In the Aramaic language, the word forgive is the word shabag or shabak. And when you shabak, you cancel a goal. You shabak a goal. You cancel it. You get rid of something that's driving your perception based. And when you load a goal, if your perception includes some form of hostility or fear, then you want to cancel that goal so that you can access what's beneath the surface that creates the hostility or fear that defiles perception. You know, our input to everyone is that our mind is designed to be fueled by the active presence of love. In other words, you only have a human mind functioning when love is conscious, active, and present in you. If your mind is being fueled by something else, hostility or fear, then you're functioning out of a non-human mind. And the thing that drives the mind, the driver, so to speak, in computer language, that keeps the whole process of perception going is our goals. And so when one recognizes that the internal response to a goal is some sort of hostility or fear, then the way to heal the part of the mind, the way to access the part of the mind that holds the hostility or fear is literally, and it sounds ridiculous at first, literally is canceling the goal. And when you cancel the goal, what happens is perception, which is so often projected, we take, you know, somebody does an event, does a behavior in the world, that behavior resonates something in me, and unconsciously I put my perception, let's say for instance, if your behavior resonated pain in me, then I slip that pain into my brain's image of you as though you're the cause of my pain. And now that I think you're the cause of my pain, I can't recapture the part of me that causes my own pain, and therefore I can't change it. When I cancel the goal that I'm holding, what happens is the projection into perception of that pain collapses. And I get to go directly to the part of my mind that holds that pain. And if I do that in the context of active love, you know, step four in the worksheet is a step where you purposely, consciously bring love forward into your mind. And so if I can access my own pain in the context of the active presence of love, and I access it by shabagging, canceling the goal, once I do that, what happens is the projection of that pain collapses. And then instead of experiencing my pain, projecting into my brain's image of you and believing that you're the cause of my pain, when I cancel the goal, that projection collapses, and I get to go directly to the root of my pain. Now, instead of being in indirect relationship with my pain, look, you've caused me this pain, I get to go into direct relationship with my pain. There's no middleman. And when, through love, I go to direct relationship with my pain, what happens is my pain automatically, instantly, and spontaneously begins to dissolve. And as long as I make the choice and as long as I'm willing to go into the space where, all right, I'm ready to be finished with this pain. Great song by Carly Simon. I haven't got time for the pain. I haven't got need for the pain. And she speaks about how this white light comes down from the heavens. She's describing the forgiveness process in that song. So she speaks, if you haven't, you know, heard that song, go grab it on the internet and give it a listen. You taught me how to fill my heart with love, how to bring in all that white light flowing down from the heavens. Now I haven't got room for the pain. I've so filled the space in me where the pain was resident with the active presence of love that I've displaced that pain. You can't displace pain that you believe is caused by someone else, and you can't feel pain caused by someone else. You can only feel pain caused by the content of your own structure. So when you start to collapse the projection, you start to delete from the mind the belief that somebody else can possibly cause you to feel something. Somebody can certainly trigger and show you what you're holding to, what your genes contain, what the content of your mind contains. Yes, people will resonate that and show it to you, but they can't cause it in you. And the way that you forgive, the way you remove the root of the pain is by shabaking, canceling the goal. When I cancel the goal, my mind's projection of the pain collapses. I get to bring the active presence of love directly into that part of my own physiology. And when I do, that which is contained in that part of my physiology begins to heal. And I get free of the pain. It's just, you know, it's mind-boggling to watch how it works. And because we have not been taught how the mind works, the repairing of it seems impossible. The whole purpose of the workshop, why is this happening to me again, is to precisely show you how the mind works. You know, if you take someone, let's say you have a group of 16-year-old kids and you've got them through driver's ed, they've been driving the car, and so now they know how to drive, and you tell them that, well, here's how the car works. You go and you fill it up with the fluid. And the kid has no idea that the fluid is gasoline. He's never seen a car being filled before. The kid says, oh, you fill it with a fluid? Okay, so somebody goes over and gets a water hose and fills the gas tank with water. So, well, they said fill it with a fluid. This must be how it works. It's a precise analogy of what the world has done. It said, well, you know, you just fill your mind with goals. We have a purpose for you. Just go do that purpose, and here we'll force these goals upon you. And then people go, and because those things don't fit with their purpose, they fill their minds with all kinds of hostility and fear and have no idea that they're doing this to themselves. No idea that generations of their bloodline have done exactly the same thing because nobody taught them there's a fuel for the mind, a proper fuel. 2,000 years ago, the core, the first thing that Yeshua presented to people was, here's the proper fuel for your mind. If you don't use this fuel, your whole life will suck. Your whole life will be in trouble. Your relationship with your spouse will be crazy. Your relationships with your children will turn nuts. Your relationship with the people around you, with finances, things will just go crazy. You've got to use the right fuel. Drive away and expect to live a human life, and again, hold a newborn child, you know what a human life is. You can't expect to drive away with the mind fueled by hostility or fear and create a life based in love. You can't do it. And in so many circles, that's what's attempted. I mean, we actually hear people who supposedly, in the name of Yeshua, say, you know, the beginning of wisdom is fear God. Fill your mind with fear of God, and then your wife will really work well. Excuse me, that's insane. That's a total, complete bastardization of the original words. And people who fill their minds with fear of the Creator end up with crazy stuff going on in the world. And they wonder what happened. Because I was told to believe this, and I believe. My life is hell, but I believed. If you believe things that are in error, you're in trouble. Just like the kid who believes, well, I'm supposed to put a fluid in my car to make it run, so I filled it with the water hose. Car's not going to run very well. So what's the fuel for the human mind? The active presence of love. If you've filled your tank with something other than love, number one, you got to stop blaming the other people. And number two is forgiveness is how you empty the tank of whatever belonged in it. And guess what? In your life, in my life, hostility or fear, in any of its forms, has absolutely no place. And where there is hostility or fear, the mind is not running correctly. When you find yourself there, canceling your goals, shabagging the goal, is what gives you access to the fuel behind your perception, the fuel behind how your mind is operating. And it gives you a chance to empty the tank of hostility and fear so you can get back to living your human life. I mean, it's so awesomely simple, yet so complicated to those who have been taught to fill their minds with something else. It's hard for people to hear when hostility and fear is what governs and runs their lives. So we're here to create a different dynamic on the planet, and that is one where each human mind and heart is fueled with the active presence of love. And we realize that we are that active presence. And if we've bought a different kind of fuel to fuel the ideas about ourselves, then start deleting, start shabaking that, start getting rid of it, because it doesn't belong in you. So if Michelle is with us, Michelle, is that going in the direction you were thinking of, or any refinements or questions there?
Well, the computer is just kind of in a spin, so I'm not sure if that turned her on or not, but she is with us. So, Michelle, if that's got you, we can't hear you yet.
Well, while we're waiting for Michelle, Michael, that resonates with me because just last week and the week before we were listening to the Course in Miracles, A New Beginning.
Right.
And it talks about deciding at the beginning of the day what kind of day you want to have and then agreeing to make no decisions by yourself. And then realizing that if I start to feel anything other than what I decided I wanted this day to be like, that's the signal for me that something outside of my awareness within my unconscious has already decided. It's made a decision on its own. It's made a decision from the past, and it's chosen a set of goals that are out of alignment with what's in the flow for the day. And my resistance to what I'm experiencing in that day, in that moment, will prevent me from learning what I can learn. will prevent me from growing. And as I'm listening to you, it's just resonating that that whole set of conversations in that lecture about making decisions is a very strong parallel in my mind to setting goals. And something arises in my day, and I feel a resistance, and I make, in that language, I make a decision that this isn't what I want. Well, instantly when I decide something is something I don't want, I've already set a goal for what I do want. Those two things are not separate. Every time I say I want something, I've already created its opposite in my mind, and I've decided what I don't want. And the tension that I'm feeling is because these are two poles of a magnet. They can't be separated. So if I can't learn this technology and train myself to recognize that the tension within me is my own internal warning system telling me, Tim, you need to cancel some goals and return to that state of allowing and openness where I can learn lessons and move forward, then I'm going to keep myself stuck in the resistance and all of the negative energies and feelings that go with it.
Yes, yes. And that's my opportunity to learn forgiveness. So it's a great setup. It's like a foolproof system. When you find yourself creating something that is other than what you want, that just leads you right back into, okay, now that I've created this, I need to acquaint myself with the part of my mind with which I've created this. How do I acquaint myself with the part of my mind that created this? Because my mind is telling me that Charlie did it to me, and it's all Charlie's fault. The way that I become acquainted with the part of my mind that's cooperating and pulling Charlie in to do what Charlie's doing is I cancel my goal. And when I cancel my goal, I get free of what never belonged within me. Because I get to become acquainted with the hidden, the unconscious, the genetic, the things that go against my own best interests. And the new beginning is a place where you literally start anew. And Jimmy just sent me a text that told me that Michelle is on. So, young lady, what are your thoughts on the conversation? We're down to, what have we got? About
6 minutes.
7 minutes? What thoughts do you have for us, young lady?
I was resonating with Tim's discussion on being aligned with the flow. So, I just like hearing the conversation over and over and over again. Every time it's a little bit different, and it's always helpful and building brain cells. Earlier, when Tim was talking about kind of that idea, I was having a similar experience with that myself. I had printed out chapter 24, and I have it by my reading table, and I was drawing my hair, and for some reason I just picked it up today, and I was reading the first several pages, and it was like, this is kind of cool, like as if I'd never ever read it before, and it just kind of cracked
right.
me up.
I do that all the time with my own stuff. There's a tape I made 30 years ago, and I listened to it, and it's like, my God, I knew that 30 years ago? Are you kidding me?
And it is a little bit, the way that's stated in the kind of parable part, format, it enters your brain in a different way, too, I think.
Yes. Yeah, I think just the understanding of the idea of building brain cells, and for those who maybe are new to the work, we're not talking about building new physical structure. Literally of every cell in your structure to store information. So when you store new information in your brain cell structure, you're building brain cells to see differently. So if you think suffering was the key to life, then with our conversation today, there's some new brain cells. No, forgiveness is the key to life. Forgiveness is the way to remove suffering. And as you remove suffering, there's room for human life to show up. New brain cells for many people who've been on that path of suffering and thinking that that's where it happens, because that's not where it happens. So just that simple concept to me is monumental. And then tying that back to Yeshua, who says that in order to do his work, you've got to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. What he's saying is you've got to have the brain cells. You know, he's not talking about physical eyes and ears there. He's saying you've got to have the brain cells for it. And we can't function on the brain cells we don't have. And we always function on the brain cells we do have. And the brain cells we do have been reinforced by 1,000 generations. And unfortunately, too much has been reinforced through pain and fear and anger and rage and guilt and grief, etc. And so it falls to the person who chooses to become aware to say, you know, I think I'll start deleting that content. I think I'll start removing it. Ah, what's that removal process called? Oh, yes, that's right, forgiveness. I think I'll start forgiving. I think I'll start going inside myself and removing these things that block the awareness of love's presence so that I can return to my true condition, my true created state, which is that awesome presence of love. You know, for me, it's like there's no other game in town. Like, what else is there to do once you realize that's even possible?
No, I tease Rex because when we're going out in our day, when we're in prison and we'll go to a restaurant or be at the gas station, and you know he'll start talking about it to the waitress or to the cashier, and I always tease him about it. But then I find myself doing that more and more. Last night in my veterans group, my partner was sick, and so I had free rein, and you know, since somebody said one thing that was just a little off, and then, you know, the next thing I know, I'm sharing, you know, from my heart concepts that, you know, they can grasp. And I looked around because I was making eye contact with 8 men and individually, and some of them were just sitting there with their mouths hanging open, like, you know, like they were so fascinated about what I was saying, and they'd never heard something such like that, but nobody, like, try to challenge me. Actually, one guy did. He goes, well, what about hypnosis? About, they were explaining the 9 bits. And I said, well, I think in hypnosis is there isn't a reality created. Hypnosis is that you're removing the filters so then you can have the actuality. So, yeah, you remember the tree in the corner, a guy had a red shirt on. I go, but that's not how reality works in waking life. So even getting ask questions, I felt confident, and you know, it was like a great opening to continue to do work with the vets.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And introducing the idea that all of that perception is driven by a goal, and that when you change your goals, the whole game changes, to me is just, and we are down to the last few seconds, so maybe we'll continue the conversation again tomorrow. We're delighted for everybody who chooses to join us every day and appreciate your input. If you're ready to take your work to the next level, we've got a 16-day Laws of Living Intensive starting on the 22nd. We're going to be up in St. Louis the next week, and then we'll be up in Chicago with Dr. Tim, and then on our way to Michigan, so we'll get to hang out and spend some time with Michelle and Rex. And so all things moving forward, check our website, schedule, and bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Best gift you can give the world is have the best year yet of your eternal life, and we join you and support you in that. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.